Hi, I'm Sandy Chapin, Director of Exhibition and Events at SEMI, and you're listening to the 3D Insights podcast, the official SEMICON West Hybrid 2021 podcast. SEMI is the global industry association representing the electronics manufacturing and design supply chain, connecting over 2,400 member companies and 1.3 million professionals worldwide. Learn more at semi.org. We are so excited to be hosting SEMICON West Hybrid 2021 in person at the Moscone Center in San Francisco and virtually. We look forward to seeing you there. Be sure to listen along as we bring you preview episodes as well as live recordings from the show floor.
Okay, I'm recording live from the SEMI Lounge at SEMICON West Hybrid 2021, and I'm here with our 3D Insights member, Brewer Science, and we're talking about how things have been going for them for the last year and a half. I have Rama Puligada, we have Kim Arnold, and Alex Smith. And I'm going to ask them each to tell them a little bit about their roles there, and then we'll have a conversation. Rama?
Yeah. Hi, hello, my name is Rama Puligada, and I'm CTO at Brewer Science. I have spent the last 26 years of my career there.
And what did you start as?
I started as a research associate.
And now you are CTO?
That's correct.
That's awesome. Kim, how about you?
So, hi, I'm Kim Arnold. I'm Chief Development Officer at Brewer Science, and I've been there 17 years.
And when you started, you were?
A business analyst.
Okay. And do you have a background in engineering?
No. I'm an economist.
Okay. And Rama, you do have a background in engineering.
Yes, I do.
Okay. And Alex, how about you?
Hi, I'm Alex Smith. I'm the Executive Director of Business Growth and Development with Brewer Science. I've also been here 17 years. Kim and I joined around the same time. I started off in our specialty materials group as a sales engineer and moved up to leading our sales team until recently taking on this new position for business growth and diversification.
I really love that about Brewer. You guys really foster your employees through the ranks. And I think it seems like there's a lot of longevity there. I think that's probably one of the, is that one of the nice things?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The tenure, average tenure is over 17 years.
Wow.
That's really
great.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be back at SEMICON West? You guys aren't exhibiting. You're just here attending. What's it been like?
It's been great. It's nice to see people.
Yeah, it's nice to hear live talks and engage with others in the audience.
So have you been attending a lot of the sessions?
Yes.
Yes, I did. I saw the keynotes yesterday, and I also went to some of the tech talks, which were enlightening. I really wanted to know what was going on in photonics, and that was great yesterday. And I'm looking forward to this afternoon with the heterogeneous integration.
They do have a hybrid version, so yeah. But it still must be nicer to be there in person.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think I capture more when I see people live.
So how have things been at Brewer? What would you say like are your highlights, lowlights of the last 18 months as we went through the pandemic?
Oh, I'll let Alex start with the...
Going through the pandemic, I think really highlighted the strength and culture at Brewer Science. Teammates really came together through that time as we found different ways to work with each other. Some of us who have been remote our entire careers, it wasn't as big of a change, but then having people go from work from facility to work from home, engaging more on teams. I think that it's actually been, has brought some people, closer together. You actually see and communicate with people more, especially folks that are historically in the field with people at headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys back in the office full time now, or is it a flexible?
It's flexible, but recently we've had to adjust again because of the number of cases that went up in our area. So we've developed a very sophisticated system to model what's going on around us within the company as well and come up with some kind of scoring system. So now we can, based on that score, decide which way we want to go. So it's flexible. At the same time, we're learning how to adapt to changes in a fast way. So if we need to bring people back, we bring people back. If we, you know, we, if the scores go up, we say, okay, stay home until the scores start coming down. So, and it's worked very well for us.
Okay. Now, how have you guys been handling the supply chain issues? Has that been impacting you?
To some extent, but we really are proud that we've had no missed shipments to our customers throughout the pandemic.
That is something to be proud of, absolutely.
A big congratulations to our purchasing and supply chain teams. It's been a different work environment for the last 18 months for them. Different priorities, different questions, different methods to make sure that we can supply our customers. But yeah, as Rama said, we've not missed a shipment.
That's great. And how about all of the expansion and the demand, the growing demand? Are you guys ready for it?
We saw the impact already in the last couple of years and in terms of growth. And yes, we're getting ready for it. That's why Alex has taken on this new challenge as the growth and diversification director, because we're getting ready for that and we're investing heavily in it.
And are you adding, I think there's been a lot of recruitment, talent recruitment happening. Are you expanding your workforce to, are you expanding your workforce to comply, but to support the growth?
Yes.
Or have you felt like, have you lost people just out of the great resignation, or is it a matter of just adding more people because you're growing so fast?
So we've lost a few. Like Rama said, our retention is really high at Brewer. We have lost a few, but for the most part, it's just expansion. So based off of our plans, what we want to accomplish, what we want to do, we develop our 2 to 3 year hiring plans and then start recruiting for those. And it is challenging at the moment to find people, right? So where you might previously have gotten 10 applicants, you might get 2 or 3.
Okay.
But the talent is still there, right? Mm-hmm. So the employees that we are hiring are still very talented and fit what we're looking for. It's just a lesser number.
Yeah, and we continue to take advantage of the internship program.
I was just going to say, you have a really robust internship program.
Yeah, and we have a very high retention rate of the interns. Yep. We train them already, they want to stay.
Yep.
So we've had really good success over the years, and through the pandemic, it continued, which was great. We hired quite a few people through the pandemic, right? Virtually, we were hiring people and onboarding them and training them, and it went well. In fact, when I went to work last week, I saw so many faces that I don't recognize.
I was going to say, have you had the opportunity to actually finally meet face-to-face people who have just joined your company?
Yeah, quite a few of them. So our HR, they organized a meet-and-greet session for the upper management with all the new employees, which was great because we got to see them, got to know them. We asked them questions about what else they do apart from working at Brewer. And we just got to know them as people, which... Mm-hmm. We kind of miss,
yeah,
right,
in the virtual environment, you know. And you know, if you, I know you will eventually get to lowlights, but one of the things, since I'm talking about that, is that I went back to work and met people, and I found out somebody got married, and I had not heard about that, and somebody, you know, was facing some health issues which I had not heard about. So those are the pieces we miss. Mm-hmm. Brewer is very much a family environment. If, you know, big things in other people's lives, like, you know, getting degrees, having children, getting married, all of that is shared very much with everybody else. And we kind of celebrate things together. And we miss that. Mm-hmm. That part, it has been a little bit difficult.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Any other lowlights since you brought it up?
That's main one for me. Yeah.
I mean, I could see that. I mean, the same for us.
Yeah.
It's, if we weren't working directly with someone regularly, I could go months without talking to them if they're not in my area, you know, at Kite Rocket. They're not in my area. And we now went back to the Phoenix office, and it's been great to, we're there 2 days a week, and we will add a third day in the new year. But so people really like the hybrid model. I really like it. I like working from home for 2 days and being in the office for 3 days.
Yeah,
it gives you a way to be connected. Mm. Come in and have the connection, but still have, for us, the safety and everything of the hybrid model.
Yeah, one of the values that we always had was flexibility. Mm-hmm. It's been on our list of values for forever. And we really saw that being used in a big way through this pandemic, because we actually, within a day, we decided, okay, people are going to work from home. We never had a shutdown. We kept going. We did not miss a beat. We just sent people home, and people just immediately started working from home. We were already set up with IT, all platforms and everything, not knowing what was coming, but we had just been set up for that. So it was, we didn't miss a beat. We just went home and started working from home.
It's hard to do that in on the production side of things, though.
Well, yeah, R&D and production did come in, and everybody else had to go home to make it safe for the people who have to be there. And even they are working in sort of a hybrid situation, so they're there when they need to be. And the every desk job that they have to do, they do it from home. Yeah. So they plan their day and then come over.
Managing manufacturing and work teams was a very effective, or has been an effective model for us in Brewer Science. So we have work teams that specialize in the different types of products that they make. And then they are together. So keeping those individual pods even separated from other, being exposed by other people, I think is one of the reasons that we've never ended up missing a manufacturing deadline.
Okay. Great. Well, I was really happy to see you all here today, and I'm glad we were able to do this, and look forward to talking to you the next time.
Yes, great. Thank you for having us here.
Take care.
Yep, thank you.
Bye-bye. Speaking with our community member from CyberOptics, Subodh Kulkarni. He's the CEO of CyberOptics Corporation, and we're just going to kind of catch up because it's been a couple of years since we've actually seen each other in person. So thanks for joining me, Subodh. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. You know, very happy to be back at SemiCon West. It feels a little bit more normal now that we get to be here in person.
Certainly.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit. Can you just start off by talking a little bit about yourself and your role at, and what CyberOptics' role is in the industry?
So sure. So I joined CyberOptics as the CEO just about 8 years ago. I grew up in the semiconductor industry. I was a fab engineer myself. That was my first job. Then several years at 3M, and then eventually at CyberOptics. CyberOptics is a very interesting company. We are a tech, fundamentally, we are a sensor technology company that is playing in both electronics as well as semiconductor manufacturing. And there's really a convergence going on between electronics and semiconductors, and it's a space in between where we fit in quite appropriately. Essentially, and a good example of that is you just take a look at the latest smartphone, like an iPhone, and what you find, historically, you would have typically found a green PCB with a bunch of chips on it. Very clear what is PCB and electronics and what is chips and semiconductors. If you take a look at the new iPhones, all you see is some kind of advanced packages that are strung together. So there is no conventional PCB. There is still a conventional chip, but it's like strung together in advanced modules. And that's really the gray area we are playing in, where there's convergence of traditional electronics and traditional semiconductors. So we, as I said, we are a sensor technology company. We play in two areas. So we have two sensor technologies that we have invested very heavily in. One is what we call MRS, which stands for multi-reflection suppression. It's a unique way of doing 3D non-contact optical sensing, both for the semiconductor as well as electronics markets. And the other area is WaferSense, where we have this wireless sensing devices that can go in the front-end fab and do some diagnostics. So those are the two areas. That's what we are showcasing here at SemiCon. Excited to be here in person and actually talk to customers in real life instead of video calls.
Is this used in development, or is it used in, is it fully automated for manufacturing?
I mean, our products can be used for development, but most of our products typically get used in high volume manufacturing. Okay. Really, what we are trying to do is help our customers with their yields and productivity and try to improve them.
Okay, so your customers would be?
Typically the fabs or the OSATs or electronic manufacturing companies.
Okay. Themselves. So do your products go into tools, or their tools themselves?
Our products go in the tool.
Okay. Okay, great. So let's talk about what's been going on with, you know, everything that's this, like the industry is exploding. Everybody knows who we are and what we do now, you know, and
it's like the headline news in every newspaper.
You know, but we've got this interesting situation where we're having explosive growth, yet we are in a supply chain situation and we have a chip shortage. So how has that impacted your company?
It's an exciting, interesting time, challenging at the same time too, as you said. Yeah, chips are in terrific demand right now, primarily driven because people are spending more on gadgets than services. And that has led to an explosive demand for electronics and semiconductors in general. At the same time, we need chips and electronics ourselves to make our sensors and other products. So we are at the mercy of some companies as well. So it is creating a unique dynamic where demand is sky high for our products, but supply is restricting. And sometimes our suppliers are waiting for our equipment so that they can make more. So it's like a little bit of a vicious cycle going on.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting how it has evolved. But nevertheless, I mean, we have managed the supply chain challenges as well as we could, and business continues to grow very nicely and profitably, and that's why you see most of semiconductor companies are doing somewhat similar. So overall, the business is very healthy for almost all semi-cap companies. We are all doing well, but we have our share of challenges as well.
Mm-hmm. Have you been impacted at all by the talent shortage? Or you guys?
Absolutely. I mean, talent shortage is always has always been an issue for the industry, to be honest. It's always difficult to hire good, talented engineers. But right now, it's particularly acute. Unlike what newspapers and television stations typically talk about, the talent shortage, when they're talking about it, they're talking about typically the hourly workers, and they're talking about fast food joints and that kind of stuff. That really doesn't impact us. I mean, most of our hires are at a much higher level salary and more on the engineering side. Where we get impacted is it's just there's a dire shortage of engineers across the world right now, particularly software, algorithm kind of stuff. And that's where we struggle. At the same time, fortunately for us, we are based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we have some really good local universities. And for whatever reason, people who grow up there, believe it or not, despite our winter and cold months, people like to hang around there. Those are good cities to live in. And so we are fortunate that the engineers we can hire from the local universities like to stay there. And so our retention rate is significantly higher than what you have here in California or even on the East Coast.
People do like to stay. That's interesting. My daughter is at North Dakota State University getting her PhD, and I'm headed up that way to Fargo and next weekend, and it's cold.
It is cold.
From Phoenix, it's cold.
It was like 5 degrees yesterday or day before yesterday when I left in Minneapolis.
So what are you seeing? Let's look ahead 2022. What are you excited about? What's going to happen for you?
I think a lot of changes are coming along in the industry. I mean, the whole heterogeneous integration is gaining full speed. Stacking is already there. For us as an inspection company, it's particularly an exciting time because as the chips and packages get more complex, inspection becomes more critical. So a lot of new technologies are coming along. We ourselves are pushing our MRS and WaferSense technologies and applications. So we will be launching some new products to address some of these very complex needs that the industry has right now. Things continue to go towards automation, so expect more factories coming along, but more lights out factory, if you will, coming along. And that's where all these tools are needed, automated tools where you need good yields and productivities. So exciting year for the industry, I think, as you mentioned earlier. For the first time, I believe the world has woken up to the importance of chips. And so suddenly everyone's paying attention to what we as the semiconductor industry is doing. So it's kind of good to get some recognition that we actually matter.
It's kind of fun to be one of the cool kids now.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know? Yeah, it's no longer just the app developers who are getting the attention.
Yeah, now hopefully we will be able to draw some more young people into the talent
pipeline. Exactly. That has been a perennial issue for this industry, is we have not been able to attract young talent. And we lose them a lot to the applications developer or software areas. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's good that the importance is clear. And we will be getting more money in the industry. We will be getting more talent in the industry. So it's good to see that happening. Healthy times for the industry.
Yeah. Just a little bit about your technology. And you were talking about the heterogeneous integration and the applications there. Are we talking about chiplets?
Yeah, absolutely. Chiplet is part of it. But it's not just chiplets. I mean, chiplet is certainly one part of it. But there is stacking going on. There are complex structures coming along. If you look at fan-in, fan-out type mm-hmm. packages, the CVOS type packages, there's a lot of different material science coming along. So the technologies that are being used and will be used in the future are going to get intrinsically complex in nature. And so heterogeneous integration is a broad word. It encompasses all kinds of things, but it certainly includes chiplet area.
How's the show been for you?
So far, pretty good. I mean, certainly it's good for people to see each other in person. That's obviously the most of the time is getting spent on that. At the same time, we have to realize that a lot of people from Taiwan and China are not here mm-hmm. because of their quarantine requirements. So that part, we are missing a little bit of that normally we would get in SemiCon West. But still, despite that, it's good to be back and meet people in person.
It sure is good to be back. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. This was great.
I enjoyed it. Appreciate the time.
Take care. We are back in the Semi Lounge, recording live at SemiCon West, and I'm speaking with Bob Smith of the Electronic System Design Alliance, or the ESDA. It is an affiliate of Semi. And we're going to just kind of talk a little bit about what his role there and what the alliance does and a bunch of other stuff.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. By the way, we are officially we're a technology community of SEMI, within okay. SEMI. So we are SEMI. We're part of SEMI.
You're part of SEMI, yeah.
Yeah, but we're one of their tech communities.
Okay, and so are you here mostly for DAC conference or both?
It definitely interested in both, but most our community, which are the EDA suppliers, the IP suppliers, are predominantly exhibit at DAC. So I've frankly spent more time over at DAC checking in with people that I haven't seen for over 2 years, recruiting new members and so forth.
Okay, and so your role at ESDA is?
I'm the executive director, so basically everything that goes on at ESDA eventually, somehow I'm involved in.
With SEMI having been mostly equipment material suppliers all of this time, mm-hmm. what was the motivation to basically collaborate or partner with the ESDA or acquire? They acquired the ESDA?
They acquired us, actually, okay. Yeah.
So what was the motivation there?
So SEMI, and I don't know exactly when, but I'd say 4 or 5 years ago, they made the strategic decision to say, we need to look at the whole semiconductor chain. You know, if there's more than just materials and manufacturing, in fact, we need to learn much more about design. And that's when they started talking to us. And then there were other communities they looked at too, like the MEMS and sensors
right.
and so forth. So I think we were the second or third tech community that kind of was brought into SEMI.
Okay, so when you're trying to recruit new members, what do you tell them are the benefits of becoming part of the ESDA?
Oh, good question. I think especially for new members and especially for smaller companies, being the voice of the industry, and that's something where we help promote the industry, but in particular, we help promote the companies in the industry. So, in fact, I was speaking to someone last night, actually, at one of the events, small EDA company. I've met him before. And, you know, the question again was, yeah, we keep thinking we should join your group. And I asked them how big they are. What are their challenges? Well, they still have a challenge of being known. Mm-hmm. They're still very small. And I said, we can really help with that. You know, we can get blog postings. We can get you articles. You join us, we'll put out a press release. It goes to a lot of people. And I find that people, especially, the small companies resonate on that. Now, flip it over, the big picture things that that we do have to do with what I'd call risk management for the industry. So, and I'll give you one good example that comes right to mind. We have an effort in anti-piracy going on right now. And this has to do with EDA software licensing and the fact that in particular, the bigger companies are looking at this problem going, you know, we're potentially losing billions of dollars a year because there are nefarious actors out there that will buy a small amount of our software and they figured out how to work around the license management software. So we convened we have a committee called the License Management and Anti-Piracy. About 2.5-3 years ago, they came up with kind of a high-level idea of how they could stop that. And they fleshed it out a bit, and then we decided to create a joint development. So actually, Cadence, Synopsys, and Siemens EDA was mentor, all put representatives into this group. We've developed a solution. It's being essentially ratified by industry right now, and it will become a standard.
Okay.
So we're still not quite done with it, but we think we have a pretty good way to knock out a lot of this theft of intellectual property.
Okay. So you're here and you've been over at DAC. What's it been like over there this week?
I did go in Monday, and it was actually, I went Sunday night to the reception. I was very pleased. It was very well attended. I would guess there were between 200 to 300 people there.
Wow, that's great.
Which was better than what I expected. I was just over there today. It seems in general it's a lot lighter, but then honestly, my experience at DAC has been by Wednesday, people are already looking at their booth like, when can I start taking it down?
right. Yeah, I still have to get over there and visit a few people before it closes.
Right.
I was happy to see that it was open until 6 today.
But on Monday, I went up, and it was top floor was, frankly, pretty busy, and the bottom floor not quite as much. Mm-hmm. But, there's traffic. So, and this is a transitional year. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, what do you think would have been for the Alliance community, what have the past 18 months been like? You know, the highlights, lowlights, aha moments?
Highlight is the industry growth is through the roof. I think we reported over 15% year to year, which is the highest, higher than it's been since 2011, so in 10 years. So the demand for the software, the demand, IP is actually growing at a faster rate than the EDA, the curve. So the demand is definitely there. That was counterintuitive, I guess. I didn't think it was shrinking, but we had no idea it was going to grow that fast.
So all of the things that are impacting the semiconductor supply chain, how is that impacting EDA at all?
Not really. And yeah. I think the reason is even in really bad recessions, semiconductor companies or fabless companies, I say more fabless companies, they don't stop their design efforts.
Right.
Because if you do, you run the risk of having your competitor blow right by you. Mm-hmm.
And they're not dependent on shipping and port things
right.
that are happening in the ports and actually getting components or materials to build things. So that's one element of the semiconductor supply chain that really hasn't been impacted that much, you would say.
I would say because it's primarily, if I think about it, it's mostly software.
Right.
And it's mostly stuff that can be shipped around, on networks, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's one good thing. Are they being impacted by the talent shortage?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a huge, I think across the semiconductor chain, I think it's not just design and it's not just material scientists. It's all across the board. There is a lot of effort. SEMI has a big group that works on workforce development, but we need to do more of that. And we're seeing other countries in the world are starting to put a much more of their government dollars into training, for this new silicon-based economy. The other thing that I think is going on, this is more of a hunch than anything else, if you asked me this question 4 years ago, I'd say the big problem we're having is college graduates, they get out and they go, I want to go work at Google or Facebook or Amazon. And I think because of some of the recent, news and some of the controversy about some of these companies, I think they're losing their luster a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
the bloom is off the rose.
The bloom is off the rose, so to
speak.
That's
a really good point. Nobody has mentioned that today, but that is a very good point. I actually see a lot of younger people deleting their Facebook accounts and, and it's kind of funny, though, they don't delete their Instagram accounts and...
Yeah.
Facebook owns Instagram, but anyway, the metaverse, do they really want to be part of the metaverse? But
in general, we definitely have a shortage, and we've got to do more work to convince more people that this is an exciting, really vibrant industry, and it's we need it. I talked to a recruiter in the EDA industry at that networking event Sunday night, and he told me was, the book of business he has, the number of accounts that he's working has never been larger. But he said, conversely, I'm having a really hard time filling any of these jobs. So he said, here I thought I was going to have a banner year. And he's not complaining, but he just said, Bob, I can't find the people. I cannot find the people.
Rough. That
yeah,
really
I have
rough.
All these contracts. I can't find the people. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, anything else that you want to add?
I would actually. The other thing, and this is more aimed at your publication and what you do, is we're absolutely in the last year, I've seen a lot more talking, a lot more discussion, a lot more questions about chiplets, mm-hmm. 3DIC, mm-hmm. What are the things that are missing? I think it's become more than just like, oh, well, that's kind of out there. We'll do it someday. To people are realizing we need to do this. We need to do it sooner rather than later.
Right.
And that's also good for design automation because we need to be able to do that for these, for these new structures. And as you just mentioned before we started a company I should go check out that's doing the, was it the thermal mechanical?
Yeah, it's called Anemoy.
Anemoy.
Anemoy Software.
Anemoy Software. Yeah. And they're over in the DAC.
Yep.
I'll have to go check them out. But anyway, that is clearly an area that's ripe for a lot of growth, a lot of new technology.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, and before if people want to learn more, where should I send them? I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, okay. Probably the easiest way is to send them to semi.org because we're part of SEMI. And then under community, there's on the front page, there's a link to communities. And then you'll see ESDA, and that takes you to kind of our part of the website.
Okay, great. Yeah. And if they wanted to talk to you, they could find you on LinkedIn?
They sure can.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Wrapping up day two of SEMICON West Hybrid 2021 with some more live recording for the 3D Insights podcast. And I am speaking with Jonas Discher of PlanOptic. And PlanOptic is one of our member companies, and they're based in Germany. So, Jonas, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So, tell me a little bit about your role at PlanOptic.
I'm the area sales manager for US and Canada. And also responsible for Wafer Universe, which is our brand for all our stock wafers.
Okay, what does that mean? What is Wafer Universe?
Wafer Universe is, as I mentioned, a brand. It's has been founded in 2019. And we have separated our stock and standard items to a separate brand. And yeah, that's what Wafer Universe is.
Okay, so it's stock. Is it all glass wafers?
Glass, quartz, carriers, and they're immediately available. That's the main benefit.
That's the benefit. Okay, yeah. Awesome. So you're in charge of the U.S. sales and Canada, but you're based in Germany.
Yes,
personally.
Exactly.
And so you were at SEMICON Europa, you said, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that was a lot to plan for Europa and SEMICON West.
It was, yes. But after 2 years apart from every exhibition, it's nice to be here on site. Mm-hmm. It's a bit more quiet than it was before COVID, but it's always nice to meet people on site.
Yeah, so how did West and Europa compare as far as the activity?
Yesterday, I would have said it's more active than Europe. Today was a bit more quiet, so it's pretty much the same. I mean, in Europe, it was mainly the European customers. Here it's more the US customers. Still, the Asian customers are missing on both exhibitions, so you can see the COVID impact on traveling. So
And so was it easy, hard, easy to get in, your travel experience?
Easier than expected, to be honest. So for traveling here, just need a vaccination and a test one day before the flight turns off. But
And when you got here, did you have to have a test to be when you get to the U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you have to show your airline one day before the flight goes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I have no idea if you need a test to go back.
I
will see you on Saturday.
You might have an extended stay.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And what about SEMICON Taiwan? Will you guys participate in SEMICON Taiwan?
No, it would have been too much in this month. It was SEMICON Taiwan and Japan, I guess, in this month. So, yeah.
Okay, so tell me what's been happening in the last year, your highlights, lowlights, aha moments.
Yeah, one of the highlights was definitely we had two anniversaries, so 50 years of BlindOptic in summer, and also 20 years of our actions here in the US. So we worked together with this local representative, Francis, and we had 20 years of anniversary.
So what did you do to celebrate?
Not that much, unfortunately. Send him some presents, and that's maybe it. Eat some dinner. And
well, that is a big accomplishment, though. Congratulations on that. I mean, 40 Thanks. Years in a 50-year-old industry, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So so anything new from the technology side?
Yes. We had we have developed a new TGV wafer. So it's a copper-plated glass wafer, perforated glass wafer with swirls. This was actually published, I guess, also 2 years ago on the Semicon Munich, but we spent a lot of time and work in the past 2 years, or especially this year, in developing this product. And we started the first projects with customers, and yeah, it went very well, and that's the main technology or new technology for this year.
Okay. So, and what application space are that you using that?
As all interposers, they are mainly used for 3D wafer level packaging. Okay. So yeah, you can connect through the holes with a conductive material. In this case, it's copper. And they can be used for antennas or glass circuit boards.
Okay,
yeah.
Has business been building up for that, for glass substrates?
Yes. I mean, we are in the very early beginning, but in the past 2 months, we are doing very well. And it's still under development, so but we are doing good, and it starts very well, yeah.
How has the chip shortage and supply chain impacted your company?
That was actually one of the lowlights this year. So we definitely recognized an impact of COVID to our supply chain. We had huge problems to get the materials, especially glass materials. Mm-hmm. The prices increased a lot, 10 to 15%.
Yeah.
For the materials and supplies as well. And also the lead times it's very difficult. So sometimes there are a couple of months, and in the worst case, even a couple of years or two or 3 years. And that's, of course, impact all our projects. And fortunately, we have reacted very fast. So we have started building up our stock for these materials. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely impact the entire industry.
Yeah.
And also, of course, the automotive industry. So our customers from the automotive industry, this industry is still not back on the same level it was before COVID, because they just can't sell their stuff because they don't have the materials available.
So what do you think 2022 is going to be like?
In general, as I mentioned, the automotive industry isn't at the same level, but I would say in general, our customers or the market for our products is on the same level as it was before. We expect a two-digit growth next year. So there will be an increased demand for wafers. Hopefully, the automotive industry will also get back to normal and recover. But in general, we definitely expect an increased demand for glass wafers and carriers as well, carriers for thin wafer handling. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And it's good to see you in person.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see you at Semicon West in 6 months.
Yeah, we already registered today. So.
Okay, great. All right, thanks. Thank you. There's lots more to come. So tune in next time on the 3D Insights podcast.